Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Caroline Mitchell and I'm author of best-selling True Story Paranormal Intruder. Today is Sunday, the 19th of January, and I'm going to be discussing our case with our guest, Chris, who's also featured in the witness pages of our book. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Thanks for coming here today. Just a few questions, really. I mean, when did this first come to your attention? When did you just, you know, first hear that we were having problems in our home?
Oh, I got a phone call from Neil one day in his right state telling me what's been going on and the house is being smashed up, things being thrown about. And yeah, it sounded pretty intense on the phone.
What did you think when he first started telling you all this?
Well, my first thoughts was, because we'd had a bit of banter over several months of winding each other up, and of course I just thought it was a joke. I mean, the amount of conversations we used to have regarding the subject, you know, it's what we used to talk about in the pubs most of the time.
You know, when Neil called you, it was when we were having problems in the house with everything being smashed up, is that right?
Yes, yeah, it was the first day of the major when it all really kicked off.
And when did you first experience something yourself, or when did you witness it?
I think it was the second time after it calmed down, and when it all kicked off in July again, Neil phoned me up. He said, right, you know, if you want to come round to see something, it's going mad.
Because I think initially you were a bit sceptical and you didn't come straight round the first time because you probably thought, like me, I mean, I thought, you know, he's playing a joke. I mean, this can't be really happening, you know, and I'd experienced it. But I think after that, did you probably think, you know, I wish I'd gone round there now. I wish I'd seen it for myself.
Of course, yeah. I mean, from my point of view, it was never sceptical. It was just the fact that we'd had this banter for months and, of course, I just thought it was just a complete long joke. You know, if I'd have actually realised the extent of what was happening, you know, I'd have been straight here.
So when you did come round, what happened?
Yeah, after legging it down the road, knocking on the door, and Neil invited me in. I was literally in here a few seconds, and yeah, an ashtray was thrown by the side of my head. So yeah, that was a bang straight into it, as it were.
And what did you think then?
Oh, blimey, that did just happen, didn't it?
What else happened that you've seen?
I think that was the same day as when I talked about leaving notes and stuff to ask it, to try and communicate with it. And I suggested just asking a couple of questions on paper, because, you know, if it's more powerful enough to do these sort of things, then, you know, could it pick up a pen and write? So, yeah, we written down some questions, left them in the kitchen, and went back up 5 minutes later, nothing there, then left another 10, 15 minutes, went back. And, yeah, there's a scrawl on the paper, like a childlike scrawl. I mean, it's in the shape of a C. We left it. I had gone home at that point, after about 5 minutes, 10 minutes afterwards, and then Neil phoned me up later that evening to say that he had written some more and left like a sort of message of some description.
Was that the DOA
yes,
message?
That's right. Yeah.
We never really got to the bottom of that, although I have seen with Mike Hallowell, he's had similar messages with his South Shields case, so that is interesting. But certainly if anyone listening can shed any light on this DO8, we'll be publicising the pictures soon. So if it does mean anything, we'd love to hear about it. I mean, we've had so many different things that we don't understand that we'd love to get to the bottom of, and certainly the point of this podcast, one of the points of it, is to find some answers. I mean, how has it changed your point of view on the paranormal or the afterlife? How do you feel about it all now that you've witnessed things like that?
As bad as at time it was for you all going through it, I do feel blessed that I was allowed to come and witness some of it, because it's, you always have the same discussions with people or thoughts to yourself. It's like, you know, it's the common things. It's like, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? You know, there's only one way you're going to know for sure. But to actually get, it's almost like a foresee it by seeing, witnessing some of the stuff. It's almost like you're being told that there is an afterlife. You haven't got to wait till the end of your days to actually find out if there is there.
I mean, I know you've certainly witnessed an awful lot out of our home as well when it was carrying on in the pub. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Again, it was like going to the pubs. It was, a lot of it was childish in a way. Little things, tables levitating, the chairs and coins and drinks constantly spilled, which did start to get annoying, because we're paying out money for drinks and having to go and keep asking for cloths to clean it up. It did become a bit embarrassing at some stages.
With some of the noises as well. What were some of the sounds you heard?
I was just, again, some of it was childish. It was just like loud beeps and growls and stuff. But one of the ones which really sticks out for me, we walked into the pub one day and it was just one guy on a machine down one end of the pub and a few of us on the other side. It was me, Neil, Lee, I think his girlfriend at the time was there, and just walked in and we just heard this almighty roar come from one end of the pub, and we instantly knew what it was. We just looked at each other, shocked. But the thing that really stuck out was when you, again, it's almost like knowing how real it is. It's when the fella turned around at the end of the bar and he said, "What the hell was that?" Basically, you know.
Because people have said, well, how come we haven't heard about this? But really, there has been, so many witnesses to what's happened. But when you're in the thick of it, certainly when I went to the pub with Neil, it's very difficult to turn around to someone and say, oh, yeah, it's the ghost that we bring with us every time we go out. You can't, can
No,
you?
they could look at you like you're mad.
Yeah, and I know we did on one occasion. Neil did speak to someone and said, "Can you come to our table and witness this?" He really, it's very embarrassing to have to do so. But of course, once he did that, it all stopped, and nothing more happened. But certainly, for our circle of friends, have witnessed so much, and I was lucky enough to invite colleagues from work who also witnessed an awful lot. So there have been a lot more witnesses than you think, but. I know we went out to the pub one night with a colleague from work, and as she came back in the door, there was a roar, and she said, "Oh my God, is there a fight out there?" I went, "No, that's it." And she just couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it could be that loud in a public place. I mean, did it ever get to the point where you felt unsafe, or did you feel like it was okay because you were in a public place?
It's I always felt safe. It's like when you're in a group, it's the bravado, so you get a few of you whipped together. But there's times where you feel a bit dawdy, like if you're walking home on your own after, especially after you've been like to the house, for example, and something had happened, and you're walking home like 4 o'clock in the morning and hearing sounds that, you know, you're wired. But the majority of the time, yeah, I felt safe. I mean,
I thought you were very brave because at one point Neil told me that you were playing this game where you put your hand under the table. I know certainly I've seen it being played. You put your hand under the table and it'll grab you by the hand. I remember one night I refused to do it and it grabbed me by the leg regardless. So I know how horrible and eerie that contact feels. But Neil told me that you actually not only put your hand under the table to grab it, but tried to grab the hand back up to see what it was that was making contact with you. I don't know how on earth you could have done that.
stupidity, bro. It's just,
So what happened when you put your hand under the table and you felt that contact? What did that feel like?
it's just boom, touch, and just literally like fingers just touching you.
So you felt like fingers on your hand?
Something, yeah. It's, I mean, I'm only saying it felt like fingers because that's what we're assuming it to be.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, for all we know, it might not have been fingers.
So you've tried to grab it back up, but it's you weren't able to do that.
That is nothing. Grabbing air.
Oh dear, no, that's not something I'd be able to do. I mean, what's the biggest thing you've seen really from all of the experiences you've had? And it's been over quite a long time really when it was going on, wasn't it?
So I've seen, I mean, a lot of stuff that's happened here. I mean,
In the house.
the house here. I think that some of the stuff is like when it's happened to me at mine, it feels really personal.
Yeah, because you had experiences when you went home, didn't you? Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
It's just one night. It's just about 2 o'clock in the morning, and have trouble sleeping sometimes, and just have my eyes gently shut, and just thinking about the things of the day, and just rolled over, and I heard this bizarre noise, like a hum crossed with a whistle. As I opened my eyes, I just saw this dark figure, about 5 foot tall, just bent over the bed, looming over, looking down at me. The only way I could possibly describe it is it's like a jet black cardboard cut out of a jelly baby.
But what,
The
like one
shape to it.
dimensional?
Just like the shoulders and the head to it. The shape, like, you know, almost like a tombstone with the curves.
And then how did you feel about that?
Oh, that was jumped out of bed swinging at air.
It must be pretty unnerving when you realize it's actually followed you home because it's all very well when it's here, you can walk away from it, but when something's happened at home.
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people think it's the same old scenario. It's like, oh, I hope you don't follow me home. But if you're with people, you're going to have to expect a level of contagion, as it were.
Yeah, and it's certainly
So you've
for
got to be
us.
prepared for it.
Yeah, it's for us. It was a case of finding out who your friends are, really. I know certainly people wouldn't come near the house, and I couldn't really blame them. And people have told me they didn't even want to drive past my house in case they caught something, like it's some kind of weird disease or something. And I said, if only it was that easy to get rid of it.
That's
But
right.
you know, you were a good friend to Neil throughout, and you supported him and came to the house even probably when you didn't want to, when it was dark and we weren't living here, to help. You know, so we really did appreciate that. Have you got, I mean, everyone's got theories on what it is, and we have gone to great lengths not to, you know, pick out one particular thing really, because we don't know. But I mean, what do you think it is? Have you got any theories?
Well, the only thing that would register with me is, I know we've all said, you know, you can't brand it, as you said before, it's people's different religions interprets different things. Now, to me, it's probably better off just call it an entity, because in this is my opinion, each religion that has their respective things like this, to me, they're all one and the same. They're just named different things because they're different religions. But I don't know, I suppose overall, with being a Church of England, I'd probably say it's a demonic entity of some description.
Thankfully, since the exorcism, things have quieted down greatly. And I don't know whether that's due to the exorcism, whether it's due to us just relaxing more because we've had it in the house. So it's kind of still around, isn't it? But thankfully.
I think it's always a case of it's just letting you know that I'm still here.
And just to wind up, really, I mean, what would you say to other people that's listening to this that said it's a lot of rubbish and it's not true?
Well, trust me, you do not want to experience that for yourself. Simple as that. Because the day you do, then you will turn around and realise how real it can be.
Certainly, that's for sure. Okay, thanks very much. I guess
Thank
that
you.
we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found that interview interesting. We have lots more to come, so please do make sure you subscribe to our podcast and our website, www.caroline-rights.com. That's Caroline with the little line in the middle, -rights.com, where you can find out lots more about our case and other interesting topics on the paranormal. We really do appreciate your support, and certainly, your reviews and shares are most welcome. As obviously, we don't have the huge marketing budgets that some books might have, so we really do rely on word of mouth and the support of our friends sharing our story and getting it out there. So, thank you so much for all your emails and messages to date. As I say, please do keep tuning in for more. Make sure you subscribe. We have lots more interesting things to come. Thanks very much. Bye.